This is an iHeart podcast.
Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun
on a Tuesday.
It is a Tuesday, and well,
we're gonna have a little bit of a roller coaster ride today. Walk with me as we go through our roller coaster ride. We have to talk about the firebombing of an anti-abortion clinic. Didn't hear about that yet, did you? We have to talk about speakeasies. Why I want to go to one. And why there aren't any good ones anymore. Apparently, New Yorkers are mad about that. We have to talk about Elon Musk thinking someone's going to kill him. He's probably right. We have violence from the left, supposed violence from the right, and even Star Trek has been ruined. All that. And we'll probably do some history tonight just because I'm in a mood on the Jesse Kelly Show. Before we get to any of that, though, I had a friend visit me. This was a couple years ago. He doesn't listen to the show, so I'm comfortable telling this story and not using his name. But I was friends with this guy during my childhood, kind of high school years, and we were very, very close. He visits me. Just hang with me a minute. Comes to visit me. He's since gotten himself married, and he has a couple kids, actually two boys, almost identical to the age of my boys. And he's only in town for a night, so I do what I never do, and I allow him to stay the night at my house. He was on some financial hard times. So look, the Kellys don't stay with anybody, and we don't want anyone staying with us. That's how the Kellys are. That's how I grew up. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He stays the night. My boys are excited. Boys, for some reason, are always excited about a new set of boys. Oh, sweet. We'll get dirty with someone else. And I've never been more horrified in my life because my friend... He's still my friend. And his wife, lovely woman, lovely woman. Their kids are monsters. And I'm talking about the kind of kids where she says, hey, don't spill that on their floor. Because, of course, the kid was spilling something on the floor. Not a big deal. It's a floor. That's what kids do. And he said, shut up, Mom. I said, I'm looking at my buddy thinking to myself, both my sons would be dead if they talked to their mother that way. And he lowers his head and just kind of shakes his head like, oh, those kids. That was one of several things they did that night. Don't drink that soda. I will if I want to. You're stupid. And I remember going to bed that night, laying down with the old lady, not to brag or anything like that. What, Chris? Laying down with the old lady and saying, oh my gosh, those kids are monsters. And I'm very angry. I'm angry on behalf of the kids, on behalf of my buddy. I'm like, how does that happen? And she says, well, I'm horrified too, but you have to understand those are the rules that have been set for the children in the home. So don't be mad at the kids for playing by those rules. Now, what's this have to do with politics? What's this have to do with what we're doing today? Well, I know you've seen the video. You've undoubtedly heard people talking about it all day, about the protests in front of the Supreme Court justices' homes, about the fact Sam Alito has reportedly been moved to an undisclosed location. And it just got me thinking about parents and kids and societies and rules. And actually, it made me take a little trip down memory lane. Do you remember last summer? When the Antifa / Black Lives Matter animals begin burning down major American cities, we have never, just so you understand, we have never at any point in the history of the United States of America had sustained rioting like that in that many different locations. Obviously, there have been big civil unrest, you know, places like Watts and whatnot. Never in that many different locations have we had such organized, sustained, costly riots. And do you remember... Do you remember how the American media covered it? In case you forgot, let's take a walk down memory lane.
I want to be clear in how I characterize it. This is mostly a protest. It is not, generally speaking, unruly.
That ain't a riot, what we're seeing right now in Minneapolis.
They are strictly principled anti-fascists, and they've taken a principled stand to stand against white supremacists and white nationalists wherever they may show up.
I argue to you tonight, all punches are not equal
morally trained.
It says it right in the name, Antifa, anti-fascism, which is what they were there fighting. Listen, there's, you know, no organization is perfect. There was some violence.
Any reasonable person would say we shouldn't be destroying other people's property, but these are not reasonable times.
I just want to let you know that goes on for another minute. I may play you the full cut later on in the show, but I love the sound of my own voice so much. Shut up, Chris. I had to cut in. Do you remember? You probably remember this. Chuck Schumer, obviously somebody who's going to be familiar to you, New York Senator Chuck Schumer. Do you remember when he got up and he said this?
I want to tell you, Gorsuch. I want to tell you, Kavanaugh.
Okay, really quickly, can we talk about Chuck Schumer's voice? Mother of God. All right, anyway.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch. I want to tell you, Kavanaugh. You have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
Okay. All right. Here's CNN's Laura Jarrett talking about protests out in front of Supreme Court justices' homes. And I do need to clarify something really quickly. It's against the law, actually, to protest in front of a Supreme Court justice's home. It's against the law. You can actually do a year in jail for it because it's the attempted intimidation of a justice. It's against the law. Here's Laura Jarrett on CNN.
And this is a question about civility. The frustration people feel is personal. But where's the line? Obviously, what we see, the apparent arson at a at an anti-abortion nonprofit in Wisconsin is over the line. Violence is always over the line. But there are real questions and conversations today about protests outside Supreme Court justices' houses, particularly Justice Kavanaugh. Where do you think that line is?
I think for a lot of people, a conversation about civility feels like it misses the mark when constitutional rights that you believe that you had for over 50 years are about to be overturned. The justices have security. So far, all of the protests have seemed overwhelmingly nonviolent. There are plenty of protests that happen every single day in this country, around the country, at abortion.
Okay, all right. So that's them defending it. All right, now where am I going with this? Back to my buddy's kids. My buddy's kids are monsters. I'm sure they're twice as bad now. My buddy's kids are monsters because they have that culture in their home. Remember, culture is just what is incentivized and what is disincentivized. The truth is, yelling, shut up, mom, in their home, it does get you that candy bar you want. In my home, it gets you a death sentence. Therefore, my kids never say, shut up, mom. Their kids say, shut up, mom, all the time. We have changed something in the United States of America, and I don't think everyone fully appreciates what we have changed yet, and it's not changed for the better. Nevertheless, it is already changed. We are already there. The kids, you, me, all of us, American civilians, citizens, we now view political protests differently than we did even 3 or 4 years ago. We now have a new set of rules in this country where anything and everything is starting to get more and more acceptable. The effort to purge the country of Donald Trump created in this country a new set of rules. When's the last time before the last year or so you saw the right show up and get loud at school boards? You see it now. Have you ever heard of a Supreme Court opinion leaking early? Let me spoil it for you. No, you haven't, because it's never happened. And then seen organized protests at their home so bad one of them had to be whisked away to an undisclosed location. No, of course you haven't. I have news for you. And this is probably going to hurt a little bit, but I do have news. We are not at some low point in the country where we have reached the bottom. I've heard people say this already. Well, this is we've reached the bedrock. Oh, man, this is as bad as it gets. This is but the gentle beginning of what happens when the rules change. I am not trying to scare you, and I know we're going to have fun. Look, hey, we're going to have fun next. We're going to talk about speakeasies and stuff. So just hang with me, but we are in a different era now. We are in an era now where anything and everything has become permissible in the pursuit of what you want. It has for the left, and therefore that is now transferred to the right. The press secretary herself still won't condemn them.
There's a law in Virginia that actually prohibits protests outside private residents, even when done peacefully. So I'm wondering if any sort of demonstrations outside private homes might run afoul of that law.
We're certainly not suggesting anyone break any laws. I would note that the president's view has long been, and I tweeted this earlier this morning and repeated and made.
We're not saying to break any laws. But people are passionate. We are entering a different era in this country, and it is not going to be gentle, and it is not going to be good, but there is no stopping it now. Well, I should say there's almost no stopping it. There's one thing that could change that. There's one thing that could stop where we're going. You want to know what that is? I'll tell you in just a moment. Before we get to that, just know that I'm back. See you in a second.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
He was looking for, you know. He said, hey,
it is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Don't forget, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Your love, your hate, your death threats, everything is welcome. We're in equal opportunity show around here, Chris. I know people think I'm not. What? We are. We're equal opportunity. That's because I am such a good person, unlike you, Chris. I am. All right. So what I was talking about, the rules have changed. They're changing rapidly. We haven't hit some bottom yet, not even close.
A charity that's opposed to abortion is being investigated as arson. The words, if abortions aren't safe, then you aren't either, were spray painted on the walls of this office in Wisconsin before the building was set on fire with Molotov cocktails.
They firebombed an anti-abortion office in Wisconsin. That's not the end either. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of a society separating and separating violently. And I do not believe it can be stopped unless one thing happens. And I think this is very, very, very unlikely. The only thing that could prevent us continuing to descend down this rabbit hole of nastiness. That's a good, you know what, Chris? That's a good saying. Rabbit hole. What? Rabbit hole of nastiness? That's, you would never come up with that. I just came up with that live on the air. That's not a very nice finger, Chris. That's whatever. Anyway, as we continue to descend down this rabbit hole of nastiness, the only thing that can stop it is actually nothing the government can do aimed at the people. The government must reform itself. And I realize that sounds impossible and ridiculous, but if you want to really stop where we're going in this country, we will have a government agency of some kind. I'm sure we already have plenty in existence, if not create a new one, dedicate itself wholeheartedly to a transparent, public, drastic reformation of the federal government, especially things like the Department of Justice, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, because what's happening now, the reason we're on this never-ending downhill spiral now isn't necessarily just because of the communists and how violent and vile and nasty they are. We're heading this way now because the right no longer believes the traditional things it thought was on its side are on its side anymore. The right, rightfully, man, that actually is not a good way to put that. The right, rightfully, doesn't believe the Federal Bureau of Investigation is interested in digging into all these far left-wing violent organizations. They've admitted as much. FBI, Black Lives Matter, Antifa. Hey, FBI, what are you doing about that? Remember they had a hearing and they said, oh, I mean, we're not really doing anything about it. The right does, however, continue to hear things like this.
Capitol Police are warning the far right is calling for violence against a religious group planning to rally for abortion rights. Whitney Wild is live outside the Supreme Court. Listen, seeing fences go up there, it's sort of like post-January 6th. What are you seeing, and what specific intelligence is warning police officials.
Well, at this point, law enforcement sources, several of them tell us that they are closely monitoring social media chatter that suggests that there's a potential for violence against abortion clinic providers, abortion clinic staff, members of the judiciary. That would include the justices here, as well as members of the federal government.
They're very worried about that right-wing violence out there. What I'm trying to say is we're descending because the right no longer believes they have any official legal recourse. And if you deny people justice by traditional means, people will seek justice by non-traditional means. That is not me cheering for it. That is me saying, beyond the shadow of a doubt, people seek justice. You give it to them through traditional means, or they'll find it other ways. I mean, I brought this up before. It's going to sound like I'm changing the subject, and I guess in a way I am, but coronavirus. Our coronavirus lockdown policies, they're not just launching America. They're launching the world into, I mean, let's be frank. Recession is now a given. That's coming. We are potentially facing a depression, a gigantic global depression, and it's because of COVID lockdown policies. Where's the accountability? People out there, people listening to the sound of my voice right now, they're wiped out across the country. They've lost loved ones. They've lost businesses. We now have this new thing out, 60 Minutes, even though it's garbage, they're doing something out there about the teenage girl suicide epidemic.
According to the CDC, hospital admissions data shows the number of teenage girls who have been suicidal has increased 50% nationwide since 2019.
50% nationwide. I cut that off a little early, but it was since 2019. People are looking around right now. Someone listening to the sound of my voice lost their child to suicide during the last 2 years or almost lost them. I know because you write me emails. And that parent justifiably wants to know what's going to be done to this person.
It wasn't until early February when I was in a meeting that experts at the foundation said, there's no way, you know, there's been too much travel without diagnosis for us to contain this. And then at that point, we didn't really understand the fatality rate. You know, we didn't understand that it's a fairly low fatality rate and that it's a disease mainly of the elderly, kind of like flu is, although a bit different than that. So that was a pretty scary period.
I wasn't scared and I knew exactly what it was because I had eyes. You're telling me big, fancy, smart Bill Gates didn't? And that human being and Fauci and state governments and federal governments and public health officials destroyed people. Where's the justice for people? Where's the accounting? Where's the reckoning? We are descending into a dark period in this country because there is no longer any accountability ever for these people who ritually abuse the public. And if you don't ever hold them accountable, well, there's a shelf life on that. And once that shelf life expires, once that expiration date gets there, once the people have had enough, then it gets horrible and ugly. And I don't want that. If we want to avoid that, we'll do something now. It's time to talk about speakeasies in New York. Why aren't they taking off? I'll explain. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, what is this? Erosion to conformity? What is it? Corrosion to conformity. That was weird. I don't know what I'm up in the air on whether I like it or not. I would need more. All right, hang on. Let me get some Jim Beam and then we'll work this out. All right, hang on. You know, before we get to the speakeasies, let's check in for a brief moment. And let's see how well the psychopaths who love abortion, let's see how well they're handling things. This is a real person.
Ladies, if you get pregnant, run on down to the abortion clinic and have that little...
Yeah. Okay, we're doing well here. Doing well. I'm a little creeped out. All right, it is the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Speakeasies. First of all, let's do a little rewind here. The headline is this. Speakeasies are hot, but jaded New Yorkers say they aren't the real thing. Let's pause for a moment and rewind. Way back in the day in the United States of America, some genius decided that we should ban alcohol. Ban alcohol. And they did it. They actually passed an amendment. There was so much support for this. They passed an amendment to the Constitution to ban alcohol. Obviously, that was insane and that was never going to work. And people began to find ways to circumvent the law. One of those ways was a speakeasy. Now, I've been to fake speakeasies before, but a speakeasy essentially was a hidden bar. It's not more complicated than that. It's a hidden bar. Why aren't they taking off anymore? Let's pause for a brief moment and we'll come back to that. You know, I don't talk about this very much, mainly because anybody who ever starts to eat healthier or work out more, their first inclination is to tell you about it, and it is the worst thing in the world. You can't walk within 50 feet of somebody who's dieting or on a new workout program without them telling you what it is. So I'm not doing that, but for the purpose of my story, I have to let you know. Started a new workout program a couple weeks ago. Shut up, Chris. It's going very well. It's going very well. Look, I don't want to brag, but I'm getting pretty big. All right, getting pretty big. But in all seriousness, started a new workout program a couple weeks ago and told the wife that I'm going to start making improvements on the diet. Just stay with me. This is going to apply. I'm going to start making improvements on the diet. Look, I'm never going to eat kale salads or whatever weirdo crap she's eating. No, I'm going to stick with meat of some kind and lots of cheese. But I'm going to make improvements. And I have made improvements. Has it been... Look, if you witnessed my diet, would you think that's an improvement over something? Probably not. Nevertheless, it is an improvement. I've made improvements. Today, actually, as we speak, I did something I've never done before. Me, Chris, Michael, we're here at the studio. We're alone. There's a cookie delivery service in my area. They deliver these gigantic cookies, and they're glorious. They're made fresh, and that's their business model. They make these huge, perfect cookies, and they deliver them. I just ordered these cookies, and I ordered them delivered to the studio for me and the fellas to feast on. And I'm so excited about it. Why? Because it's forbidden. It's not just because they're cookies. It's because they're forbidden. Look, you can call it the fallen part of human nature, and undoubtedly it is. But the truth is, the human mind wants, at least part of it, wants what it's not allowed to have. You can create as many fake speakeasies in New York as you want. And you can have people dressed up in 1920s attire, and they do. And you can have these speakeasies. They're actually cool, Chris. You'd enjoy them. Where you need to have the password before they let you in. I mean, it's straight out of the movies where you knock on this kind of nondescript door. You have to know where it is, and they'll open up the slot. What's the password? And, of course, you end up getting the password if you know some people in New York, as I do. And it's fun, and it's fine. It's not better than the dive bar up the road, though. Why? Because it's not forbidden anymore. It's not forbidden. You can't have the speakeasy unless you aren't constantly giving the door a little bit of the side eye, wondering if the NYPD is going to bang down the door and throw everyone in cuffs. What, Chris? What if they had Cubans in there? I like Cubans. Cuban chicks are dimes. What? Oh, cigars. I mean, are those even really that illegal? Cuban cigars are the thing law-abiding citizen guy. It's the thing he does to feel like an outlaw. The guy who works 40, 50 hours a week. He works 40, 50 hours a week, putting food on the table, keeping clothes on his kids' back. His old lady's got some fresh flowers every now and then. He drives a 10-year-old car. He's the definition of responsible, right? 10% every single month goes to his investment portfolio, but he just wants to feel like a Hell's Angel for one day. So he gets some Cuban. Have I ever smoked a Cuban? Yeah, Chris, I have a couple at the house right now. Are they better? No, absolutely not. They taste better because they're forbidden. It's funny you brought up Cubans. A buddy and me have actually had this argument before because he has a line on some Cubans and he gets them regularly. And I'm not a huge cigar guy, but I'll puff on a cigar, especially if I'm at a party of some kind where everyone's smoking cigarettes or something like that. I'll enjoy a cigar. Or if I'm out golfing or something like that, I'll enjoy a cigar. And I've had Cubans. And every time I have one, every single time, I light that bad boy up and I think, man, this is going to be so much better than those other cigars I've had. And every time, honestly, the first puff or two tastes like it. It's like, ooh, man, I see why these are forbidden. They're not better. You realize after a few puffs, it's the same thing you've been puffing on over and over again. So, sorry, New York. You're mad that speakeasies don't quite have the spice they used to. You need to ban alcohol if you want them to have the spice. Look, hey, if you're listening to me in New York City right now, isn't life spicy enough? All right. That reminds me, did I ever tell you about my illegal bar story in Okinawa, Chris? Oh, I've never. All right. I think it's probably been a while. Maybe you forgot because you're stupid. So I have. All right. Let me explain something here before I get into my story. And yes, I'm going to get back to all the politics here and all the abortion stuff and Supreme Court stuff. And Ukraine is back in the news and there's something creepy there. And Chuck Todd's getting fired and all kinds of other great stuff. But before we get to that, I want to talk first about me. What, Chris? I'm going to talk about me. When I was in the Marines, we would do, and I still think this is something they do, but I don't know, the whole combat Iraq, Afghanistan thing, I know screwed this up a lot. We would do 6-month deployments overseas before there was combat. You just go, and I've told you this before, the one I did before Iraq kicked off, which screwed up my second one, dang it, the one I did was Okinawa. And we went to an illegal bar there. And I threw up. And I'll explain exactly what happened in just a moment. Before I get to that, we were just talking about how skeezy and nasty the world is. How dangerous it is. That's not going to change. I mean, I opened up the show talking about how we are descending. We don't have to celebrate it. Sure, you're not happy. We do have to be prepared, though, right? Do you have a hero gun yet? Does your wife? Does your husband? Does your mom who lives alone now? That daughter you sent off to college, do they have hero guns? It's a non-lethal gun. I don't want to hear any. Oh, they're not a gun guy. She's not a gun girl. No, I don't want to hear any excuses. This is a non-lethal gun. It might save your life or the life of the person you love the most. Shoots a pepper ball 100 miles per hour. It'll stop someone in their tracks when this thing explodes on them. Trust me on that. Anyone can use it. Anyone. It's got a laser sight. You point and squeeze. It's that easy. You don't need some fancy concealed carry permit. And there's a discount code. You get a discount. Go to hero2020.com and use the code Jesse, and that gets you a special discount. Hero2020.com, code Jesse.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and no, Chris, no karaoke for me. I'm so multi-talented. I don't want to show off my voice, Chris. No, in all seriousness, I have the worst voice. We Kellys, by the way, it's the Jesse Kelly Show. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I'm going to go on to my story here in just a moment. We were talking about the forbidden and speakeasies in New York and whatnot, but just really briefly, the Kellys don't have any real artistic talent. And I mean nobody in the family. We're a bit more of a construction Rust Belt type family. It's no, Chris, I didn't say I wasn't talented, okay? All right, I finished in the top 2/3 of my high school class, I'll have you know. I'm uber talented. The point is, the Kellys don't sing, they don't draw, they don't play musical instruments, they don't dance. We don't have any of those abilities. The wife won't even dance with me anymore. You know what she says it's like? Tell me this isn't rude. She says it's like dancing with a grizzly bear. That's not very nice. She says she accuses me, Chris, of trying to take charge, only not knowing what I'm doing. That doesn't sound like me at all. That doesn't sound, look, I'm going to reject that. I reject that. All right, shut up. Back to my story. We're going to get back to all the politics here in a minute. Okinawa, Marines. We go over there for a 6-month deployment. And I've told you this before. Whenever you would go somewhere or be in the close proximity of somewhere in the Marines, they would give you a list of things, of places you weren't allowed to go. And they would give you the addresses, the names and addresses. I still remember it. It was amazing. Hey, don't go here, 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 and here. Well, again, this is the Marines. You might as well just drive us there and drop us off. We go out one night, and we are legally enjoying ourselves in Okinawa. We were on the up and up. And then a couple cups of courage later for the fellas, and we decide, we should definitely go check out one of those places now, right? Because, of course, that's when you want to go check out. And remember, some of these places were dangerous. Some of them were drug hubs. Some of them were known to be organized crime hubs of the various Japanese. Oh, exactly, Chris. Well, again, you might as well just take me right to the organized crime bar, because that's where I want to go anyway. Hey, are there any gangsters in here? That kind of a thing. We go. We show up outside of this place, and it's just like something you would imagine in your mind. We're on some street, some kind of side street in Okinawa, and you have to go not in a front door, not in a door, and then up some stairs to a second floor bar. You have to go off the sidewalk and go down these rocky stairs, and then you have to knock on the door. They'll open it up, and they decide whether or not they're going to let you in, and they let us in. And I don't think I've ever had so much fun in my entire life. One, 100% the place is full of criminals. But we thought we were okay. There's 3 or 4 infantry Marines. We probably had way more confidence than we needed to have at the moment. So we go in and we're partying it up. And on the stage, I've never broken a rule that's turned out so well in my life. On the stage was the greatest band I've ever seen in a bar. Now, the band itself was probably just above average, but they had some guy, he was Japanese Jimi Hendrix. I'm not even kidding. He had this long hair and like the stuff Jimi Hendrix would do. You know how Jimi Hendrix would pick up the guitar and play it with his tongue and play it well. I don't mean just strumming on it. He would play it with his tongue. That was this guy. And he was shredding to Jimi Hendrix songs all night long. And of course, we were getting along with all the gangsters and everyone's buying everybody drinks and stuff like that. And it was so much fun right up until a certain point. You know what habu sake is? You don't know what that is, Chris? I would not recommend you find out. In Okinawa, there are pit vipers. Very poisonous. Yes, they will kill you. And the Japanese, well, the Okinawans, look, it's a real dispute whether Okinawans are Japanese. I'm not going into this. We're just going to call it the Japanese for now, for simplicity's sake. They have figured out some kind of rice-based drink that involves this pit viper. And look, you can image search it online if you want to see what it looks like. I'm sure they're out there. I'm sure an image search would show it to you. But this drink is not served in, a bottle. Bottles of it may exist. Do you know how you consume habu sake? There is a gigantic clear glass jar sitting there. There's a big opening at the top. In this clear glass jar, I can't stress this enough. In this clear glass jar, there is an entire pit viper. Obviously, he's dead because he's completely submerged in the alcohol. This one, if memory serves me, I don't know whether this is custom or not. This one, they had pried his mouth open so his fangs were sticking out. It almost looked like he was striking. That may be custom. I'm guessing it was custom. But the guys, the gangsters we were drinking with, insisted that we go out and take our little cups and we dip them in the top of this habu sake and we down one. We did. And we were all three in the bathroom throwing up in about 10 seconds after that. If you ever get the chance to take habu sake, I would highly recommend not doing it. However, if the choice ever came between drinking another shot of habu sake or listening to Chuck Schumer's voice, I can't guarantee which way I would go.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch. I want to tell you, Kavanaugh. You have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
Who has a voice like that? My goodness. All right. We still have a lot to go on the Jesse Kelly Show. Elon Musk, of course, he's been in the news. Elon Musk thinks somebody might try to kill him. I say he's not necessarily wrong. And probably more importantly, almost undoubtedly more importantly, someone has a question by email. They have a very specific question about the FBI and what hasn't been released to the public. And I think this is something we should all dig in together, don't you? All that's still to come on the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, jesse@jessekellyshow.com is the email address. Your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions, all are welcome there. And if you miss any part of the show, download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. On iTunes, a 5-star rating and a review about how handsome I am is critical for the show. I'm going to go eat some cookies. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.